So he was starting to look at the timer to see how he's doing. So what he saw, he was like during 15 minutes, he's quite concentrated with some peak of calm. Mm-hmm. And then there is like, they go into the blue for a few minutes, then again 15 minutes. And he was saying, and this happens, he's feeling it's out of laziness.
Or boredom.
So it's a little bit of both.
And make it more interesting.
He feels a lot of demotivation about this peak cycle when you practice, but you can still go down. And so since he understands this big thing, he feels a little bit of demotivation. Is it an English
word? Yeah. That's an excuse of the kilesas. We don't want to do the work. It's an explanation that the kilesas give, you know. They find all sorts of things, you know, to stop us. Yeah? It's not really demotivating, yeah? Because, I mean, out of the cycle you have a point out, yeah? And when you start to move on this point out, you know, I mean, then just keep in the right direction.
Wherever we are on this loop, is there a point of exit?
As long as we're human beings, yes.
No, but this morning he was still, when I was saying, like, Long Puman was teaching Devas, and he was saying, oh yeah, to finish the work, because he was still thinking that the higher you are, the more close to the exit you are this morning.
No.
I told him, no, they might be a very high God and not even on the first stage. It's not.
I mean, didn't you tell him the story when the Lord Buddha and Moggallana went up to Sakha?
No, not this one.
Tell him the story. And don't forget, you know, the moment Moggallana, you know, shook up the palace of the Lord Sakha, or the God Sakha, you know, Lord Sakha, you know, he didn't want to, in front of all this audience, so he moved to a very quiet room, and then he talked with the Buddha and Moggallana.
And if he pushed it was because he was too busy and forgetting the...
No,
it was not because he was...
No, he wasn't busy because he believed that he was there forever.
He was to give a sense of
urgency.
I mean, he was complacent. He thought he will live forever as God.
You say we are in the... so it's someone referring to Moggallana who has a higher stage of enlightenment and state of consciousness that can go there.
No. I mean,
yesterday
he has power.
It's mysticism. No, usually he uses power.
But, I mean, you can tell him about the powers, eh?
If Sakha's position is never ever permanent, then different people can become Sakhas.
I mean, of course. Become...
So the Lord Buddha was a Sakha once, was
probably. Right. I mean, the Sakha. The Sakha from the time of the Lord Buddha was reborn about 20 or 21 years ago as a human being.
So two things. The first thing, he doesn't feel it's necessary and useful for him for the moment where he's in this practice.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, that was only to make sure that he doesn't believe if you go higher, you will find your way out easier. No, it's actually more difficult because complacency... starts coming in.
So he say it's a difficulty to draw the line between legend and all these things, because these things are not perceived by human beings. So for him, should we take those stories as really reality, or is it just like legend to help you understanding things? Maybe
it's
we
reality.
Could finish the story of Sakha when he was reborn. He met Longta, no? We say if it's all these things are reality, so we should not be bothered or we shouldn't care about all these conflicts, all these environment issues. I don't understand why.
Pourquoi?
Say because those beings make sure that the Dharma stay active, stay alive. They take care.
No.
The Dhamma can stop.
It will stop.
So is there a new loop created? Or
no, no.
Does it go elsewhere?
I mean, the loop is for each individual. But there's also a sine wave. There's the peak height where the Buddha is born, and there's the low where the human beings become animals. And then it slowly goes up until there's another Buddha born, and then it goes down until the human beings are animals.
Goes to animal, to vegetal? No.
No, no, no. I mean, it just means it goes up, you know, and then it goes down. But some people, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, very, very, very long down, you know, and hardly go up a little bit, you know, and then go down again. I mean, this can vary, you know. No. It's not an eight.
And he say, and it's independent of time and space. Yeah. We can be reincarnated in the past, from what I understood, or in the future. Yes, he was asking, can we be reincarnated in the past? But then he was saying, but space here, in a different geography, different country, and different, we can be reincarnated.
For instance?
Yeah, different time. He was saying we can be reincarnated different time.
For us, people who took up, you know, and determined to take on spirituality and start practicing, we always will be born in the human. Not in the human realm, but when we are born as human beings, we are born at a time when there is a good civilization. We are not born at a time where human beings are only animals. Because of our spiritual advancement, I mean, just like the engineers, who were born, you know, and are very bright, or the inventors, yeah? They come from a civilization, you know, that has had these things and passed through, through some of the lower birth, you know, like in the 15th century or maybe 17th century, you know, or in China. But they don't come to they don't beat other people up with clubs. That they passed. As human beings, yeah. But it doesn't mean, you know, if somebody, you know, decides, you know, to kill animals, that he cannot be born as an animal, yeah. And, yeah, if we have developed a certain degree of morality, we will always be born at a time when there is a certain degree of morality. I mean, that assures our karma.
Born as human, and so during those time we can be up or...
Yeah, we can be up or we can be down, you know, depending on our karma. Mm. But if we have developed a certain, you know, through a few lives, you know, a certain amount of morality, I mean, we cannot be born at a time where there is no morality.
So it's this soul, which is permanent, we cannot be divided. Mm. It cannot be divided, and it goes up until Nibbana.
It cannot be divided. I don't understand.
But because the citta cannot be divided into two persons. Like,
one moment. I really don't understand. That was complicated. What is it with the two cittas? I don't understand.
No, he was saying, so from what he understood, it's like the soul. He was not saying the citta, which is permanent and goes on like this. And it's one entity, cannot be divided. Like, you have some actions of one person, it cannot become two persons. That was
no?
When he said, yes, no, no. It cannot be divided. Mm.
No, I mean, normally, I mean, karma is so intrinsic, it goes so deep, yeah? I mean, that is very difficult, you know, to pre-tell, you know, what is going to happen. But karma can only be fulfilled, you know, in the environment it needs to be fulfilled. So I mean, a person, you know, who has morality, you know, who has developed morality, I mean, he has to be born in, at a time when there exists, not a lot, but there exists morality. Yeah. But we also don't know what kind of other karma we have, yeah, that is awaiting us. So maybe we have the karma to be reborn as a human being, as an animal. And this just waits, you know, for the time to ripe, yeah? So, I mean, we don't know if we are reborn as a horse, you know, or as an elephant, or things like that. Yeah? So it's very difficult, yeah, to say for a person what is going to happen. But normally, yeah, what you can assume is that if people, you know, decide, you know, to practice and become a monk, if they're still interested in being a monk, you know, obeying all the rules, you know, and trying to practice, then it is very likely that either in the next life, if they still like it at the end of their life, it's very likely, you know, that they find a very conducive environment for the next life. But you don't know what kind of bad karma they did before, so they might first go to hell and then come back. Or it can be just a case, you know, somebody, you know, ordains as a monk, you know, keeps his rules, you know, practice very hard. In just a few months before his death, he becomes dissatisfied with his life. It can all happen. And then, in the next human life, he will not take on the practice, but he will become a human being enjoying the pleasure of the senses.
You say, yeah, also a life where you just dive in the desires, but consciously until you see that they become suffering, this kind of life can be useful. That's what I was saying.
I mean, as long as a person has sati and awareness, I mean, he can use it, yeah, for his advantage. But if he has not developed, you know, the sati, yeah, sure. I mean, you can use anything, you know, to develop the practice. But be careful. The Kilesa says, tell you, oh, I can develop practice by looking at it, and then they divert their attention, and you don't even see it that you fall for them. Don't. Never underestimate the power of the Kilesas.
What is the... If we are lazy, when we are practicing, is that the Kilesas or is that karma?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, Kilesas is karma. But it's the old karma. What comes up as laziness is the old karma. And if you dive into the laziness, then you create it even more heavier.
Okay, understand.
Always, you know, whatever, you know, we always have a choice to follow the karma or create a new path. But laziness comes up because of karma. And then we see laziness is not really one of the enlightenment factors, so we start to get rid of it. But getting rid of laziness is very difficult.
What is the criteria to know? Because some kilesa might be very subtle or might be very hypocritical or hypocrite. When you lie or when you are deceitful, you know, so they can make you believe it's on the path, but it's not. So what is the key to know, the criteria or the key or the sentence or whatever to know if it's kilesa, even subtle, or if it's the path?
Very easy.
Tell me.
If you are with the Buddha, then it's the path. If you're not with the Buddha, it's not the path. If you do investigation and you are on your object, you are on the path. If you're not on your object, you're off the path. And if you live in the world, you know, I mean, there is a knowing that comes up, and that is the Dhamma. So tells you, you know, I should go, you know, to Thailand, you know, to look for a good tradition. Yeah. But you will know in the beginning that this kind of Dhamma is always against our comfort, always, I mean, it can produce some fear, yeah? So, you know, it is not, you know, that Dhamma that or that knowing that comes up, you know, is not our usual way of behaving, yeah? So it goes against the grain, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, yes, you can trust it and follow it. But still, You always, even if it is like that, you always should check if it is within the five precepts. What? So, for instance, now just a thought. Now, here, you learned about the Dhamma, and you feel, you know, okay, this environment is very inspiring. But the Kalesas tell you, maybe I should go back to Canada, or maybe I should go back to England, you know, and then build myself, you know, a nice kuti, you know, where I can be very quiet, you know, and where I can practice. It's a Kalesas.
On prend un exemple. Si, tu vois, t'es ici, tu te sens bien dans la pratique, etc. Ah, dis-toi, you understood.
Je veux pas comprendre, yes. J'ai compris.
He doesn't want to understand, but he understood.
Why is it a Kalesas?
C'est dit, John, il dit, ouais, ça c'est qui déjà. C'est la voix des qui déjà.
They told me that. So, when I was a layperson, Ajahn Chari stopped me. Oh. So I said, is it a good idea? I had an excuse to go back.
Mm.
So, don't go.
Because we can go back, maybe create
Yes, of course. That's a Kalesas.
How do you distinguish between Kalesas and real Dhamma? Like, I was thinking about this last
Everything, time. I said it. Real Dhamma is everything that keeps you on the path going. Dhamma has only one interest, that we put all our attention, you know, onto the path. It doesn't have any intention to divert, yeah? Even if it is for a moment. Of course, now let's say, yeah, for a person, you know, a lay person, you know, I mean, he feels good, you know, and he wants to practice, yeah, and he even wants to ordain, but in his lay life, he has some debt. So, the Dhamma tells you have to pay back the debt. Yeah? Because with a debt, or with any kind of debt to your, or the government service is looking for you, yeah? You cannot, yeah? So you have to do that first, before then you can come back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's working on this, it's been 4 years he's working on clearing the
clean the debt.
No, he has no debt, but he was first to leave his job, and as soon, yeah, when he left his job, he knew he was to intensify his practice on Dhamma, to just focus on
okay.
it. So he said, yeah, it takes time because family, car, a lot of things, but he has still a question: what is the more beneficial for his practice, if it's Thailand or Canada? He still doesn't know about this.
Of course, Thailand. No. Yes, of course, Thailand. But, you know, if you find a suitable teacher in Canada or in the States or in England, you know, then it is up to you. The important thing, where is a suitable environment and where is a suitable teacher for you?
Yes.
There is an excellent teacher in Canada, Ajahn Vilandamo. He said all the team of bhikkhus, he is very, very strong. He said they are all very clever, some are engineers, some are... And he doesn't see
my place.
His place in this. He doesn't see what he could bring. He doesn't see himself in this team because they have high intellect and high degree of consciousness. He said intellect, yeah. They are clever.
Yeah, but they are not clever in the way of Dhamma because otherwise he would feel comfortable there. What the Western monks normally do, they perfect themselves, you know, in the sila, you know, and in their conduct and behavior. And that's it. They don't have samadhi and they don't have panna. That's why it appears, you know, for us, you know, as a lay person, you know, oh, they're perfect bhikkhus, you know, because they behave well. You know? But like my tendency, I like to poke a little bit and then you see, boom.
You say, and the other obstacle, it's the language, because you say you will not learn Thai, and staying in Thai without knowing Thai, with globalization and all, he doesn't feel as much comfortable as, and he say, but that's maybe an illusion or maybe a kilesa, because he admits that, yeah, the guide and the teacher and the support of the Sangha in Thailand is nothing to compare with, but
exceptional.
But the, yeah, there is this language issue.
Yeah, so I have the same thing. It's not only Thai, you know, it's not only the language, but the whole culture. So that's why, that's why I looked in England and in Germany, and then I saw there's nothing, you know. I mean, that's not what I'm looking for. It's not the Dhamma that I'm looking for, or that my heart looks for. And then I said, okay, now you don't have any choice. Yeah.
So he said about true and false Dhamma. Is it really like some of the true Dhamma, some teacher, and other false Dhamma, or is it just some are less deep than others? Because he said, when he went to Wat Pananachat or even with his Ajahn Vinandamo in Canada, he saw people with very, for him, very high stage of that we will probably never reach. So for him, he will be contented even with a smaller Dhamma. That's what he says. When he saw these people, those people.
Then you have to be able to distinguish, and that is very difficult for somebody who hasn't gotten really experience in the true Dhamma. The true Dhamma comes through practice. The true and real Dhamma comes through practice. And the other thing is learned Dhamma.
So the understanding of Dhamma or the understanding of past life and this, it just goes when the citta is open.
Mm-hmm.
So right now he's in the kilesa.
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, there's the Dhamma that is looking, you know. I mean, these questions come from the Dhamma.
Look, he made the exercise of noting, just saying the Buddha and noting all the kilesa, but he wrote them down. And he said, there is two main kilesa coming back. And he's very afraid of them because they are very deceitful. And because he said he doesn't have problems like himself. He doesn't have like big problem. He said, maybe I'm even too happy to be here. But those two kilesa, he's very afraid of them. Mm-hmm. And, but I don't know yet what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You wouldn't be here if you were happy, because you would be complacent, yeah? And you are not, you know? I mean, your heart, you know, I mean, you don't even know it yet, but your heart is really constantly searching, you know? I mean, yeah? So, I mean, a heart that is searching is not happy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. When you found what the heart is looking for, you know, and then you start, you know, to give all yourself to the practice, then you become happy. It happened to me when I found the Lungta Mahaboy, you know. The first time I saw him, I said, oh, here's my father and mother. Here's my family. Before I was looking in England and in Germany for the Dhamma, and was never, the heart was never satisfied. At the moment I met Lungta Mahabo, I mean, it was 100% satisfied.
See, the same for him each time he comes to Thailand. And when he comes back to Canada, his relation with his parents, it's now different. There is still some loving kindness, but it's different. So.
Yeah, I mean, for his parents, he should develop, you know, a lot of metta. Yeah. And don't make them try to understand you.
Understand you or the Dhamma?
No. You or the Dhamma.
Mm.
Leave them as they are. They will get only interested the moment they see you changing to the better. That's when they get interested. Parents have one goal for their children. For them to make them happy. I mean, I'm not talking about the lower parents, but I mean our parents have just one goal, make the children happy.
So about the two kilesa. It's very difficult to explain the kilesa.
Very subtil.
So the kilesa that comes, he's on the Buddha, everything goes well, and then there is some thought coming about the practice and Dhamma, or good feeling. No? Mm-hmm. And then there is thought about, and he has a lot of difficulty to restrain those thoughts. So he thinks about them, try to synthesize, and then he sees himself teaching it.
Mm.
That's the thing.
Mm. And I don't feel.
And then he said, "Oh, but I'm not on the Budo anymore." And that's
okay.
The
same. That's okay. Yes, it will take a long time. It's okay. Just the earlier you notice it that you're not with the Budo. That's why we have the Budo. Then, the moment you notice, and then you will see that the kilesas. I still want to think it out. Just let me think it out. Yeah. So you have to cut it. The moment you see, you're not with the Buddha, so, but you have thoughts about Dhamma, doesn't matter, it's also the kilesa. Cut it off. And the sooner you cut it off, you will see, I want to think it out. Yeah. I mean, that's so nice to think about it.
It's like, yeah, you say the Budo and you say, oh yeah, I'm doing the Budo, I'm doing the Budo, but when you say this, you're not on the Budo.
Yeah, it's totally working. Yeah.
I mean,
it's normal.
This is normal.
It's normal, okay, I'm not.
So there you really have to have determination.
And yeah, the same kid as him about talking.
Yeah, talking, yeah, not teaching yourself, yeah. And you don't want to, you know, you want to finish that talk.
Yes.
And that's where our real, where the real determination is coming in. So what, yeah? Buddha. Just say, so what? Yeah? Or just say, there's a thought. God, Buddha. Or use, that's not me, that's not myself, that doesn't belong to me. And always notice, you know, I mean, there's, the moment you try, you know, the moment you try to practice this, you're paving a new path. And it is hard work.
Say, we are on the Budo, 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 and then it's like the mental come to see what we are doing. It's like there was like splitting. There is a split.
Yeah, I mean, do it more. I mean, you have to explain that more. Yeah, I mean, what is splitting? You can be right or you can be wrong, you know. I mean, you have to observe it longer.
You see himself doing the Budo.
And that seems, for the moment, it seems okay, yeah.
So when the Budo, Budo, and when he makes the breath go slower, and I say, oh, do you make it consciously? And he say, sometimes no, it comes naturally. And sometimes he does it consciously, breathing slower. And when he does this, yeah, it cuts down the mental. But what he was saying, anyways, it's, so he uses the Budo, 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 and then the breath become slower, and then, yeah, at some point there is this mental coming, like to see what he's doing. I'm not quite sure to, like there is this split of, but.
And then what happens after that?
It's like a door opening to thoughts.
But if it is like a door opening to thoughts, then it's never good.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, I mean, there is something else. Because sati is observing us doing. Yeah? So, I mean, if it is sati, then it's okay.
So it's maybe sati, you say?
That's why I said, you know, but if you see there's a door opening to thinking, then it's not sati.
Because he didn't know there were those two ways.
Maybe sometimes a good way, sometimes it's not a good way.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you develop sati, I said, you know, I mean, if our concentration is good, you know, then the sati goes to the heart. Yeah? But it comes from the heart, you know, and it is, I mean, if you see something from there coming there, then it is not really yet sati. Yeah? Sati always comes from the heart and it is always something that knows, you know, it knows that you're doing the Buddha and that is fine. Yeah? It just, you know, it just keeps a check on it. Yeah?
So it's like a welcome look of on what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he didn't know, he thought either he is the bottle or either he is looking somewhere else. He didn't know that sati could look at the kilesa.
If you can't look at the kilesas, you cannot know them. The kilesas don't know that they are kilesas. Dhamma doesn't know it's Dhamma. Yeah? It's the sati that knows it's Dhamma, or it's sati that knows it is the kilesa. Or it's panya, actually, yeah.
Because he's able to, he's with his Budo, see a kilesa coming and say, analyze it and say, oh yes, that's a kilesa, so this is sati.
Well, that is panya. You know that what,
yes,
you know that said, something is coming, that is sati, and Panya instantly says it's a kilesa.
He said the knowingness that you are not on the Buddha, it is sati.
Yeah.
Without the knowingness, I mean, we wouldn't be aware. It is, it's just pure awareness. Eh? Awareness knows everything that is going on, but it doesn't judge. Yeah? So Panya must come in, you know, and say, oh, that's a kilesa. And that is done. So the longer you train it, whatever, you know, I'm staying with Buddha, whatever is not Buddha is the kilesas. There you train Panya.
So he said there are three things. Or, so he said, I just say exactly what he said, more or less. There is, here in the center, there is sati, which is permanent and stable, and this sati
permanent.
This sati is surrounded with kilesa. The kilesa arrive, and when the kilesa arrive to like, then he said there is like Panya who said, "Oh, there is a problem." The kilesa arrive, and then the Dhamma comes
to explain
that it is kilesa. I think it's good, but not the same way. It's sati, whatever.
Actually.
Simple, actually.
Very simple.
Yes.
This is all the kilesas. Trying to figure something out. When you try to figure something out, it's always the kilesas. Dhamma knows. And it's Panya that says it's a kilesas or Panya, or Dhamma. Panya doesn't do anything. Yeah? It just knows. Just stick with your Buddha, you know, and return it, yeah? I mean, it takes some time, you know, to get the experience, yeah? And don't try to explain anything.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's finish.